It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Here's Kim Miller of the Prestera Center.
So even if a pregnant mom was addicted to drugs and had the disease of addiction earlier on in the pregnancy, if she can deliver a drug-free baby, she saves the baby from medical interventions, she saves herself, and she saves society. It's expensive to put babies in neonatal intensive care units.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. As the opioid addiction epidemic has grown in Appalachia, so has the number of babies born addicted to drugs. Experts say the problem is only getting worse, not better. A variety of treatment programs have cropped up across Appalachia designed to address the issue. But as Carol often reports, there isn't agreement on the best way to do it.
A young mom, we'll call her Patient A, is sitting on a couch holding her infant son at Karen's Place, the newest inpatient treatment program for pregnant women in Louisa, Kentucky.
Well, I have struggled with addiction for almost 10 years now. I guess mostly opiates, which, you know, turned into heroin.
She smiles down at the healthy infant in her arms, then begins to talk about her older son, now 2.5.
He was actually born addicted. I could not quit when I was pregnant with him, as much as I wanted to, and as much as, you know, my mind told me every single day that I could. I was just under the grips of, you know, this disease, and there was no way that I could.
She says she went to treatment when her oldest was 6 weeks old and stayed for a year, but relapsed during her second pregnancy.
I don't think any mother wants to have a baby with NAS, as we call it, neonatal abstinence syndrome.
That's Maria Mescola, a high-risk obstetrician based in Wisconsin, talking about neonatal abstinence syndrome, where babies born to drug-addicted mothers go through withdrawal. If someone is addicted to opioids and wants to get clean, there are generally two approaches to initial treatment: medically supervised cold turkey, so to speak, or medication-assisted tapering. But things get a little tricky when the addict is pregnant.
When patients undergo detoxification or complete withdrawal, even a supervised withdrawal, the risk, probably the greatest risk and the most common risk, is that of relapse.
In 2012, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists came out with a committee opinion on opioid abuse, dependence, and addiction in pregnancy. Their conclusion?
Balance of the evidence strongly supports the opioid-assisted treatments during pregnancy for the stability that it offers.
But if a woman participates in an opioid replacement therapy program while pregnant, even though she isn't using illegally anymore, her baby will likely be born with symptoms of neonatal abstinence syndrome.
And we know that it is best for babies to be born drug-free.
That's Kim Miller, Director of Corporate Development for Prestera Center in Huntington.
So even if a pregnant mom was addicted to drugs and had the disease of addiction earlier on in the pregnancy, if she can deliver a drug-free baby, she saves the baby from medical interventions, she saves herself, and she saves society. It's expensive to put babies in neonatal intensive care units, especially for a problem that is preventable.
Data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that the national average hospital charge for a baby being treated for neonatal abstinence syndrome is around $93,000. The average cost of a woman going through Prestera's inpatient treatment program, about $14,600 for an average stay of around 6 months. But getting women off drugs before the birth of their child isn't always easy or advisable.
My name is David Chafin. I'm the director of maternal fetal medicine at Marshall University.
Chafin says for appropriately, i.e. self-motivated women, tapering doses can allow a mother to be off drugs completely by the time her child is born.
This is not an inpatient 72-hour detox program. That stress, i.e. just going cold turkey, probably does carry some fetal risk. But the slower detoxification programs are safe to use.
He emphasizes that, in his opinion, requiring detox through a court order or obstetrician encouragement is dangerous, because if the mom isn't invested in her own recovery, the risk of relapse is really high. To prevent relapse, Chafin says, not only do mothers need to be ready to get clean, but centers like Prestera and Karen's Place that include long-term intensive counseling and support services are vital for success. But there are not nearly enough of these programs, and Appalachia has been hit really hard by the opioid crisis. At Cabell Huntington Hospital, where Chafin works, 140 out of 1,000 births are babies with neonatal abstinence syndrome. Nationwide, the number is around 6 per 1,000 births. So centers are coming up with a variety of ways to treat these patients. One, doing things a little bit differently, is Crosswinds outside Lewisburg. Noel Jewell is the medical director there.
Mostly in the first trimester, we're looking to detox completely off.
And what does that mean? Detox means different things for different people.
With detox, we're going to zero. So when they leave, they're not on any other medications other than prenatal vitamins or any other medications their OB would like them on.
Jewel does use buprenorphine, which is also known by the brand name Naloxone, to ease the symptoms of withdrawal. But unlike Chafin, where a detox tapering can take 10 to 12 weeks, Jewel does it in 5 to 7 days. Then the patients are monitored for a minimum of 72 hours, with an average total stay of around 10 to 15 days, and released back to the care of an obstetrician.
Now, I will admit that our first priority is trying to have a baby delivered without neonatal abstinence syndrome.
Up until this point, he says they've been really successful in reducing the number of NAS babies. Partially, he thinks, because they have really strong OBGYN support from local doctors. I asked him if he shares Chafin and Mescola's fears about relapse after an abstinence treatment program like his. He says relapse is definitely a concern.
Detox is just one part of it.
The other part? Counseling. Jewel acknowledges that Crosswinds treatment protocols differ from what the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists recommends. But, he says, there isn't a lot of definite data one way or another. For one thing, some of the studies ACOG referenced in their 2012 recommendations are pretty old, like written in the 1980s.
We as clinicians have an opportunity to start setting the trend. I mean, to start seeing what works and what doesn't work. I mean, we could wait till ACOG comes out with something, or wait till the study is published, or we can start trying to collect some of that data and see if there's a better way to do it.
Maria Mescola, the obstetrician in Wisconsin, is part of the new ACOG committee reviewing the 2012 guidelines to see if they need to be updated. For her, opioid replacement therapy for the entirety of the pregnancy is still the best practice. But, she says, she also hopes physicians like Chafin and Jewel publish their research, because this problem isn't going away, and more research and data helps everyone determine what works well and what doesn't. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. I'm Beth Voorhees.